If not, I'll just use my my teenager voice that I use on Wednesday nights here. If you are new here visiting, I am Pastor Jimmy. I serve in middle school, high school ministries here. And occasionally, I get to come up here at main service, especially if they're looking for like a really fantastic sermon, not a mediocre sermon like from Scott, like a really great sermon. That's when they'll call up, you know, the youth pastor. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Touche, Scott. There you go. Wisdom. There you go. There's the wisdom on me there. But look, this summer we have been in a series called kind of stories. We're kind of picking individual stories that seemingly are like not connected, but they are chosen for reasons where the overarching theme is about navigating change. And I want to say a quick bit about the idea of story, okay? And that is, story is hugely, hugely powerful in shaping a person. In fact, you and I are so integrated into story. It's almost like it's in our DNA. It's just the language that you and I understand. And I'll kind of prove it to you, okay? Here's a little experiment. I would love for you guys to really try this out. The next time somebody is talking to you, ask yourself, is this a story that they're telling me? Or the next time you're talking to somebody, maybe stop for a second and say, am I sharing a story right now? You know how like there's some people who like to do people watching? There's like people watchers. Well, I think my wife likes to do people watching. Well, there's eavesdroppers. If you're ever into eavesdropping, pay attention and ask yourself, is this a story? You might be shocked at how many times you hear stories throughout your entire day, every single day. Or who here likes to watch Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime? Who's into anime? I know someone over here is. I'm looking at you, Rafi. I know. Why? Why are we so glued to TV shows, right? It's because you and I thrive on story. It's just, it's in our DNA. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think God understands how important story is? I think so. And this is the proof. You know that 80% of the Bible is story. Okay. There's legal literature in there. There's poetry. There's apocalyptic literature, right? There's letters. But 80% of your Bible, my Bible, is story. Why does God do this? Because story is how we are shaped. Story is what we understand, and God knows that. So what I want to do for you today is I want to share a story. Only I want to do things a little bit differently, okay? There's not going to be any slides today, no verses to read up on the screen. What I'm going to do for you guys today is something that's called a first-person sermon, okay? Because what I want you to understand in this story is I don't want you to just hear a story today. I want to do my best to get you to see a story. I want you to feel this story. I want you to experience this story in a fresh and a different kind of way. Now, if you do want to follow along, I know Breck likes to crack open her Bible and it's notes, notes, notes. You can follow along. We'll be in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5 and beyond. But otherwise, what I would love for you is just sit back, relax. I'm going to say just sit back and enjoy the show. But I want you to sit back and just experience the story. And then later, I'll have a quick little debrief. My name is Zechariah. Zechariah the priest. No, not the priest that has a book named after him. He's about 500 years before me. But maybe you know my wife. Her name is Elizabeth. She's of the tribe of Aaron. No bells. Well, you know, really the person who's most known in my family is our son John. Popularly known as John the Baptist. But man, the story of his birth is just absolutely incredible. You probably wouldn't believe me, but let me tell you this story. See, being of the tribe of Abijah, Okay, and it was my turn to serve at the Holy Temple for the week. And it's only by random chance does somebody get selected to light the incense in the most holy place. It's also known as the Holy of Holies. Well, yours truly drew the right number, and I was selected to go and light the incense in the Holy of Holies. And I went in to the Holy of Holies, and you would not believe me, bless you. You would not believe me. There was an angel. There was an angel standing on the right side of the altar. And I was so terrified, I was so afraid, I fell down in terror. And he said to me, "Don't be afraid. My name is Gabriel." And he says, "Your prayer has been answered." Let me stop here for a second. You have to understand, my wife and I, we have had a prayer. The same prayer. We have prayed this one prayer for years and years and years. You know what the prayer was? It was a prayer for a child. We just wanted a child. And for years and years and years, it seemed like we would never have a child. We spent years watching relative after relative celebrate birth, 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 but never us. Do you know how hard infertility is for a couple? I'm sure some of you guys know, and if not, you probably have friends that do know what that's like. But in our culture, let me let you in on this. To not have kids was a sign of God's displeasure in you. To not have kids was a sign that God was cursing us. And everybody knew it. So we pleaded with the Lord. We begged the Lord. We prayed so hard. Have you ever wanted a change in your life so badly? Have you ever wanted your life circumstance to change? And you prayed. And it just didn't seem like it was happening. That's what our prayer. And here I am before the angel, and he says to me, "Your prayer has been answered. Your wife, Elizabeth, is with child." And then he begins to tell me how wonderful and great this child would be, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from within the womb, that he would lead the sons of Israel back to God, and he would prepare the way for the coming king. Absolutely amazing. Only I didn't buy it. You know how old I am? I'm no scientist, biologist, but man, me and my wife, we are well beyond childbearing years. This is impossible. Have you ever felt like change was impossible in your situation? Because that's how I felt. There's no way God could change this. No. So I told that to the angel. I said, "How can this be? Is God blind? Can he not see how old I am? This is impossible." And I demanded that that angel give me a sign. Let me tell you, be careful when you ask an angel to give you a sign. Did you know the sign that he gave me? He made me mute. He made me silent until the day of my child's birth. Man, careful when you ask an angel for a sign. I came out of the temple and I was trying my best to tell the other priests what I'd seen, what I'd heard, what was happening, and the words wouldn't come out. And I finished my service for the week and I was itching to come home to my wife to tell her. And I come home and oh my goodness, she's glowing. She's glowing and she's happy, and she already knew what I was about to try to tell her, that she was with child. I said, "Can God really change my situation?" You know what? Even then, no. Can't be. So you know what I did? I hid us for five months. At her age, do you know how easy a miscarriage would be?
You know how probable and likely a miscarriage would be? So I said, no. This can't be real. This can't be true. We're going to hide. And I hid her for 5 months. Have you ever found difficulty in believing God that he could change your circumstance? Now, there is someone, though. There is someone that I know whose faith is way bigger than this priest. Let me tell you about my wife's cousin, Mary. Man, young thing, maybe 13 years old, okay, engaged to a good enough fellow from Bethlehem. His name's Joseph. And you know, that same angel Gabriel visited her. He visited her. And he told her about a change that was coming into her life. The only difference between her and I is I was praying for a change. She wasn't. I was looking for God to change my circumstance, and here God was bringing a circumstance into her life that was not invited, not welcomed, and wasn't what she was asking for. And you know, the angel told her, said, Mary, you have found favor with God, and you will be with child. His name will be Jesus, and he will be great. He will be given the throne of his father David, and he will rule forever and ever. And she asked a really good question. Not a cynical, not a rebellious question, how I was questioning. She was very curious. She just said, how? How can this be if I'm a virgin? And Gabriel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and this child would be set apart that is holy. That she would have a child. And you know what her response was. This will blow your mind. She looked at this change that was coming into her life, this change that was invading her life, and she looked at that angel, and you know what she said? I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word. Who says that? Because this is what you need to know about my wife's cousin. Do you know what the rest of her life's reputation was going to be? Town whore. Adulteress. Do you know that we stone women for that? We could absolutely kill her and stone her, and it would be completely fair and legal. Do you know what that's going to cause in her relationship between her and Joseph? What is it going to mean for this child growing up, the reputation of being a bastard child? She is getting this change that's going to ruin her life as she knows it. And she says, what? I am the Lord's servant. Let it be done to me according to your word. Man, you would think that a godly man, a priest, would have the kind of faith to trust God. And here's this 13-year-old girl who's got way more faith than I do. Guys, don't be like me. Don't be like me where you can't trust God to change your situation. Be like Mary, who's willing to trust God even if it's a change you're not looking for. Been thinking through this sermon all week, and I've always found it interesting that the Bible puts these two stories, the story of Zechariah and the story of Mary, they're in conjunction. One follows immediately after the other. And I don't think the author does that by accident. I think these stories are juxtaposed for a reason, to show us really the faith of of this little girl, Mary, who is historically about 12, 13, or 14. And in this series, we're talking about change. And there's change that you're looking for. There's change that we pray for. And sometimes there's change that we don't pray for. It just happens. Just to kind of end our time, I'll peel some pages out of mine and Francis's little storybook. But her and I, we got married in 2017 here on Tennessee River, a little ferry boat called the Southern Belle. We got married there in 2017. But we lived in California because at that time I was pastoring at a church. I couldn't readily leave. And we didn't want to stay in California. I mean, it was lovely enough, but it wasn't near family. And when we wanted to start having kids, we wanted to make sure we're near at least one set of grandparents. And it's either going to be my parents in Arizona or her parents on Signal Mountain. And we always looked at 2020. We said, 2020 was going to be the year. It was the year, wasn't it? Global pandemic, heated election, riots. There's a lot happened in 2020. But you know what? We were trusting God. We were trusting God for two things. We prayed, God, would you move us near one set of grandparents? And will you help us get pregnant? These were the things we were praying for 2020. This global pandemic hits, and God was still faithful because we still moved here, September 2020, here in Chattanooga. And we had Ezra, November 2020, on my birthday. Which, speaking of birthday, happy birthday, Stacy. Keegan is making sure everyone knows. But we wanted this change. We prayed for this change. And praise God, it was in his will for us to come here. Now, what was not prayed for, a change that came, was how difficult it would be to find ministry work. See, the majority of at least the last decade and a half, is I've always kind of been full-time ministry. Ministry is what I've kind of always known. And if you would have told me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Jimmy, you're going to be a bartender, I'm like, you're out of your mind. Because I'm a pastor. Now, I'm not sure if there's bartending pastors. I thought that was crazy sauce. And yet here I am, and I show up in Chattanooga, and it is painfully difficult to find ministry work. No one's hiring during a pandemic. No churches are hiring. But bills still need to be paid, don't they? And so I find myself bartending. And I said, God, this is only temporary, right? Surely this is only temporary, and you'll lead us to a church and a church position. It took us 2 years, 2 years, till we found Journey Church. And even then, it's a story for another day. I wasn't looking for Journey. Journey wasn't looking for me. It was just God doing the little goofy stuff that God does. That we found ourselves here at Journey Church. And we're so thrilled and so happy to be a part of this community. Never would have expected this change in our lives. And sometimes just God is doing something else. Something better than we could ever hope for or imagine. So just want to end by giving you hope. I want to end by giving you encouragement. If it's a change that you're looking for, maybe it's change in your relational life or your work life, family life, whatever it is, that change, don't stop praying. Even if it's been years and years and years and you feel like God is ignoring you, don't stop praying. There's power in a persistent prayer. Trust God for the change. And if it's a change that just has come your way, you didn't see it coming, it's not welcome, it's not wanted, but it's a change nonetheless, I think Mary has it right. I think it takes faith, but I think Mary has it right. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And pray for you.